Hello, welcome to another episode of Bros 3 Podcast for March 2nd, 2021. How you doing, fam? Say, how you doing? Yes. How y'all feeling? I hope y'all feeling fan-flipping-tastic. I hope y'all feeling splendiferous. I hope everything is bubblegum and rainbows for y'all. Sitting here listening to this LTD Back in Love again. I'm sitting here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 brothers on here. 11 of them. And this is when your talent outweighed your looks. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's brothers here, some, they all look like one variation of one of your uncles and granddads. Like, they all, ain't nobody over here a superstar necessarily. It's about the group, the LTD. What does LTD stand for anyway? Hold on, I got to figure this out. Hold on. LTD, because ain't no handsome dude. It's crooked teeth in the picture, but that's all right though. Hold on, let's see. LTD. Okay. LTD band Wikipedia, and best known for. Okay, here we go. LTD stands for love, togetherness, and devotion. That's what's up, man. That's what I'm talking about. Because, see, you know, I don't think little kids now, I don't think they do the whole group thing. Like, I remember growing up, we had, what, ABC, BBD, SWV, TLC, 311. What a minute, 311? 3LW, maybe? But, like, they was all for one, one for all. But, see, we as people, we start picking people that we like. Oh, we like NSYNC. No, we don't. We like Justin Timberlake. You know what I'm saying? And from there, I think our egos kind of got into the mix. That's besides the point. It's the Bros 3 Podcast, which, you know, I'm not trying to say if there was a lead singer in the Bros 3 Podcast, it'd be me, right? I'm Mike. You know, Mike Jackson. I'm Prince. They're the Revolution. I'm Justin Timberlake, and you know they Joey Fatone and the other ones. That's just what it is. You know, I make this thing. Me. I'm just playing. But yeah, I think putting ego aside is a great thing to get. It's a great motivator to get things accomplished. You know, like it's all for one and one for all. Like the Three Musketeers, you know, something like that. All right, this one's going to be kind of a hodgepodge because I was running a little late. I'm actually 2 days behind. So please enjoy the show. And if you don't like it, guess what? We'll be back at it next week. Without further ado, let's do the damn thing. All right, last week I brought up the Kidz Bop version of the song Miss Jackson by Outkast. And I was saying that I grew up with the song Miss Jackson. So to be 40, to hear it reconceptualized after 20 years, I felt a certain way about that. And I know maybe some people are like, look, it's just a song. Let the young people have fun with it. Yeah, I get that. But the thing is, nothing has like relevance anymore. And anything can be made fun of. And we live in a a time where like nothing is taken seriously or nothing's given relevance. Like even the great songs from like the rock classics from like 1970s and stuff. I remember seeing a commercial for Amazon Music or Alexa, and they took this beautiful song and this is what they did with it.
I go down to my knees and I start to pray till the tears run down from my eyes. Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to love?
Right. It's about
Alexa, play Queen on Amazon Music.
It feels wrong. It's like, oh, you taking nostalgia and you're using it to say, like, you know, old, what they call people born in the 70s, they're like 50 now. I don't know. I don't know what you call that generation, but like, yo, play that song. Like, I remember that song. Alexa, play the Queen. And then it seems like it's cheap nostalgia. Like, Alexa's a new company. They didn't do nothing to deserve to be in the company of Queen or even this one. I know some people like, oh, you know, it don't mean nothing. But okay, what about this one? Hold on. Is this it?
I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to dance with somebody. With somebody who loves me.
Yeah.
Alexa, play Whitney Houston on Amazon Music.
Look, I remember back in my day, brought to you by Nostalgia, sha-na-na-na. I remember that song came out, like, what, in 1988, maybe? And I was 8 years old. MTV was a newly established thing, and the Whitney Houston video came on, and she's sitting there with this orange, I thought it was her actual hair. And I was like, I don't know who that person is, but they had the voice of an angel, and I like this person. She's like a black Barbie doll. I like that. And I like this woman. And then my mom was like, I remember I said, I like her hair. And then she was like, Tony, that's not her hair. And this is before I knew wigs and weave was a thing. And she was like, Tony, have you ever met somebody with orange hair before? And I was like, no, but that just makes her even more special. You dig what I'm saying? What I'm saying is the nostalgia factor has been cranked up. So now all the people in my age group, or maybe a little older, they want to go buy the Alexa because Whitney Houston told them to buy the Alexa. And I don't like that. But see, I started thinking when we get older, you know, we gonna have commercials like, what, another 10 years we're going to have commercials like this. Yes, hello. Are you suffering from erectile dysfunction? Are you having a hard time getting it up? Well, try Viagra. Viagra will help you get it on up now. Jodeci. It ain't gonna be old by then, so they might actually still be singing it. If you and your partner are having a problem in the bedroom, get it on up with Viagra. Let me finish. Let me finish. Wait a minute. You know they do that little fast part where they be talking? Like, if erections last for more than 4 hours, please consult your doctor. But until then, set the mood with Viagra. Like, you know, like stuff like that. Like, that's going to be, in the next 10 years, we're going to have stuff like that. Or, let's see. Instead of that Sarah McLachlan, that young lady, the one, is that with the arms of the angel, you know, where they had the dogs, and they'd be like, please give money for the ASPCA, whatever they do to, like, to feed the dogs. That needs to be updated. And if I was going to update it, it'd be this. So you think it's cool to disrespect the dogs? No. And then see, in my commercial, I had DMX grabbing like human food and putting it down for the dogs to eat them. Right. Right. Oh, okay, that was a cuss word. But like, yeah. And then from there, like at the end, I have DMX like, yo, real quick, like if you out there eating and your dog ain't eating, then for me and mine, you ain't eating. You know what I'm saying? It was like give to the PETA, political ethical treatment of animals, and the ASPCA. You know, I like that. You know what I'm saying? I can get down with that, cause that Arms of an Angel, that's too sappy for me. You know what I'm saying? But I dig that. And, you know, in about 20 years, because, you know, all these young kids, they're having a hard time sleeping. Those old folks, we got our mortgages on our mind. We having trouble sleeping. Well, wouldn't you like to have nice dreams? Huh? Wouldn't you? Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you want to hear an ambient commercial, like, with this in the background? Like a woman, she tossed and turned. And then, like, she holding a pill, and then she look at the pill. And then she takes the Ambien, and then she settles in for a restful sleep. You know what I'm saying? What she had? Lucid dreams, y'all. I still see your shadows in my room. Right. But she's snuggling in the pillow, whatever. She wake up in the next morning. She's refreshed, cooking breakfast for the family. You like replace your sleep time med with Ambien. Or you could say, add Ambien for a good night's sleep. But then the guy said that fast talking stuff, please do not use Ambien if you have problems sleeping. Please talk to a physician if your shadow's in your room. Do dance and do say they must replace you. Please be aware that do not operate heavy machinery without a full night's sleep. But then they show us sipping her tea. So like they go over all that, like they just gloss over all that. Like, please do not tweet and while on Ambien. We will not be responsible for you losing your job. But then from there, it's like, talk to your doctor about Ambien. Which, what I find interesting, you know, back in, okay, I don't know how we have gotten so. I guess I do. I got an idea. Okay. Explain to me how we went from looking for medical treatment. Like, when we were still becoming a civilization, 1600s or whatever, we would go seek out a medicine man or a medicine woman, a bruja, someone who was more in touch with the earth. We would leave our little towns and villages, whatever, and we'd make a track, and maybe a kid had a fever or a whooping cough or something. I don't know. So they got him in the back of the wagon, and the husband might kiss the wife and like, you know, I'm going to make the journey to get our kid looked at by the Native Americans, you know, who live outside the city walls or something, right? You put him in a little raggedy cart or whatever, and it'd be in the middle of a blizzard, and she'd be like, Godspeed, Emmanuel. You'd be like, very well, Hezekiah, whatever. Right, so you take your kid out there, he'd be under blankets and stuff. Well, not blankets, because they ain't have blankets. It'd be like bear skins and pelts and stuff. You take him out there, whatever, and then you knock on the door, and be a blizzard and stuff, and then the medicine man would come to the door and be like, go away. And he'd be like, no, you need to see my son, little Lithuania. Like, his fever won't break, and it's been a fortnight since he's been healed or whatever. And then the medicine man be like, no. And he's like, I have money. And he open up a little satchel, some coins and, you know, bones or whatever. I don't know what people paid back in 1600. And then he'd be like, okay. He'll go outside and look at him. He'd be like, your son needs leeches. We got to suck out the bad blood, put the good blood in. And then from there, you know, bring him in a hut, maybe, you know, steam lodge or something. And hopefully with the right herbs and berries or whatever, the kid will survive. And as a parent, you'd be like, thank you, you were life-saving. Like, yeah, well, he needs to eat, you know, I don't know, this kind of berry and herb and stuff. Right, we took, you know, the sage advice of people who learn medicine. We took that to heart. And now we got commercials telling us about medication And then it says, talk to your doctor about medication, about this medication specifically. Like, the thing is, doctors know if you go to your checkup, right? And let's just say you're having trouble sleeping, right? And you saw this commercial about Ambien from the, he's like, can I have the drug from the commercial? The doctors know, first and foremost, that these drug companies are paying for commercials, and they're also paying doctors to prescribe them. All right, so now you're getting pressure from the drug company to give this drug, and now you have the consumer, which is the person that's sick, specifically asking for this drug by name. And the doctor's in the catch-22, because if you don't give him the drug, or give him or her this drug, they know you're going to go to another doctor that will prescribe the drug. So even if you don't necessarily need it, they say, you know what, I got a couple free samples, Ambien or Viagra or whatever, and they'll give it to you. Like, that's, to me, that's dangerous. Especially now, I mean, given the opioid epidemic. I don't want to bring y'all down. No. I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's okay to be told no. And we as a society, we as this new modern hustle bustle, Amazon Prime, next day, instant coffee, 20 minutes or less, so your pizza's free. Like, we don't like being told no. I know I don't. But I understand sometimes no is something I need to hear. So I've heard people arguing with their doctors, like, do you know that this doctor wouldn't give me the specific drug? It's like, yeah, because maybe of the side effects of the stuff that you're taking. Maybe because you just don't need it. Maybe instead of just getting this instant fix with this pill, maybe you just need a lifetime change, maybe unwind before, maybe turn off the Netflix before you go to bed. Like, just sometimes it's okay to be told no. Don't tell me no. I'm just saying, sometimes I do understand that no is something that people need to say. Okay, that went off on a tangent, but all right. Now it's time for the BTP news. Don't you bring no bad news over here. Yeah. So don't nobody bring me no bad news. Facebook buddies. Or Instagram buddies. Find us on Bros3Pod. Yeah. So don't nobody bring me no bad news. Alright. So, first story is, oh, well, real quick, if you don't know what the BTP news is, well, what rock you been living under? Premise is real simple. I find a couple headlines that made me laugh, made me want to ponder what it might have happened, and then from there, I make up a story, right? And then from there, if I got the story, I read it to you, and then we can all learn together. All right, so our first story is landlord accused of kidnapping tenants, comma, leaving them in a cemetery. Okay, all right. So this is how it goes in my brain, right? Let's see. They got to live in some kind of city, like, right? I want to say, like, one of them cities where, like, if you were a mafia dude, and once you become a snitch, like, where they put you in the witness relocation program, right? So, let's just say something like New Jersey or something, right? And his landlord, you know, before he became a landlord, he was part of Scaramucci gang back in, New York, you know what I'm saying? Family back east, you know? So, he was a made guy, you know what I'm saying? You think it... Joe Pesci, yeah, that was him. You know, he would go in, get a cannoli, you know what I'm saying? He was driving cars in the, you know, 80s. You know, he was a guy. He was a guy, the guy, right? So then from there, something went down with the Scaramucci crowd. They got hit with the RICO Act. And, you know, let's call him Larry. Larry was like, look, I ain't going to snitch on the family. You know, but they was like, look, you're looking at forever in a day. And it became an episode of the first 48 hours. He was like, can I get a Newport, please? Because I'm about to sing like a canary. From there, him and his wife, his two kids, they got moved to New Jersey. And from there, they were like, look, Larry, you're no longer Larry. You're going to be Alfonso. You know, Alfonso Gutierrez. He was like, hey, I don't look like that. He was like, look, that's who you are. And you're going to be the landlord in this building. So he went from riding around, you know, going to Studio 54, you know, living the best life, to it's just him, Alfonso Ribeiro, or whoever, you know, with his wife. And his wife, she used to be a hot girl. She's like, you know, I hate it here. I want to go back. And he's like, we can't go back. You know, they'll kill us. He's like, well, they'll kill you. They won't kill, they'll kill you to get to me. Hey, shut up. Forget about it. So anyway, everybody don't know he that dude, because they just only know him as good old Alfonso. He sweeps the porches. He, you know, if they have a problem with the heat, you know, they bang on his door. They're like, hey, Alfonso, my heat's not working. He's like, I'm getting on it, you know. And he's been trying to keep a low profile. He's been trying to be the good super. And every day, gets up and he's been weighing on him. He looks in the mirror. He still see that main guy, you know what I'm saying, that guy. So he went to go collect the rent, and he was being humble and stuff. He went to go knock on the door. He was like, hey, it's me. It's good old Alfonso. Hey, you got the rent? And they were like, you know what? Ain't nobody paying you nothing, Alfonso. Get on out of here. You know, some young people, because young people are so disrespectful. And Alfonso, he's trying to keep his cool, but after 20 years of this, man, how much more can you take, right? And, you know, Alfonso cracked his neck, you know what I'm saying, got his cigar. He was like, I think you might want to pay. You know, something bad might happen. Hey, I'm just saying, this old building, things happen all the time. And some young black people, they was probably like, hey, get out of here before we kick your ass. You know, he was like, okay, you know, if that's how you feel, you know, I'll be back. Secretly, Alfonso been waiting for this because he was like, he tired of the world making him his kicking stone, stepping stone, footstool, all those lowly things, right? So, you know, late that night, Alfonso kicks in the door. That's how he'll fix it later. And they're like, what's going on? They shut up. He got a ski mask on, but you can tell it's Alfonso. He hit somebody in the mouth with a pistol, because the young black dude jumped up like, hey, man, what you doing? Pop! Hit him in the mouth. Shut up. And you're like, oh, my God. Alfonso, is that you? Hey, no, it's not Alfonso. I'm Larry Scaramucci over here, part of this Scaramucci gang. Don't you forget about it. Right? Ties him up with some duct tape, throws him in the trunk of his 78 Cadillac, because he still kept that. He got to keep some remnant of who he used to be. And they were like, you never get away with it, Alfonso. And, you know, Larry done with this now. Like, who's this Alfonso guy? Hey, who's this Alfonso guy? He turns up the jams. He playing, why do you build me a butter cup? It's just loud, right? So the dude, and maybe it's two dudes. Skip it. It's 2021. Two dudes in the trunk. They tied up and stuff with duct tape. He pops the trunk. He was like, get out. And they got their mouth covered up. I don't know how they was talking earlier. Like, and he takes the duct tape off his lips and like rips it off and rips a little thin mustache off. Like, why are you doing it? Hey, you know, you had a chance to pay. Hey, you're a tough guy, right? Hey, a tough guy, take tough chances, right? So, like, they're walking. I guess kind of hopping because he got his legs tied up. And as soon as it gets like two gravestones, he hit both of them in the back of the head. Bop, bop. And they sitting there laying there like, hey. So, hey, right now, you're 6 feet above ground. Next time I come through, maybe you're 6 feet underground. You think about that next time Alfonso come through asking for money. Hey, forget about it. Leaves him, right? Now, most people realize that they could end up dead, you know, but they didn't. And then from there, they went to go snitch. Snitches got snitched on. Snitch got snitched on. All right, let's see. Let's see how this story goes. Now, that's my interpretation of the situation. All right, so the story. Let's see, a landlord in Albany, New York is facing kidnapping charges after he allegedly tied up two of his tenants, covered their heads with pillowcases. Ooh, that would have been a good thing. And left them at a snowy cemetery. Albany police arrested 48-year-old Sean Douglas on Monday morning and charged him with second-degree kidnapping in connection with the incident on Sunday morning. According to charging documents obtained by Huffington Post, Douglas forcibly restrained a 32-year-old male tenant and a 21-year-old female tenant sometime between 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. Police say use zip ties. Ah, zip ties would have been good. Yeah. Zip ties and tape to restrain them before covering their heads with pillowcases and forcing them into his vehicle. Police say Douglas then drove them at gunpoint to a cemetery where he left them in the snow. Anyway, let's see. Eventually, the female victim was able to free herself and get help from a nearby house. Douglas had been frustrated as he had been unable to evict the tenants due to COVID-19 restrictions, the Time Union reported. New York State placed a moratorium on evictions for tenants who have experienced hardships due to the pandemic until May 1st. Citing law enforcement sources, the Times Union reported two others may have been involved in the alleged incident. No other arrests have been made. Okay, let's see. Jail records show Douglas was later released from Albany jail on $50,000 bond. Douglas was previously charged with assaulting and violating a restraining order. Okay, so there was some similarities there. There was some similarities. Okay, fair enough. Let's see, what's our next story? Let me see if I can find it. Okay, hold on. 1 second. Let's see. Arizona man fakes own kidnapping to get out of work. All right. Now, fam, this one puzzles me. The reason it puzzles me is because if you hate your job that much, then there are things that you could do to not have to go to that job. Namely, get another job. Like, you know, like, to... Hold on, wait a minute. I'm trying to make sure I can... Hold on. Did I agree? Okay. Yeah, if you don't like your job, then you could get another job. I mean, whenever you try to fake a kidnapping, because this has happened before, it never turns out right. Like, okay, first and foremost, most people don't kidnap grown men. You know, it's not a thing. You know, and if you, as an employee, you must have been doing kind of a poor job in the first place. You know, like you're like, oh, I can't cut off sick because I caught COVID-19 three times this week. And I got no sick days. I can't say my grandma's sick because I use that. She's like, okay, so what am I going to do? Probably spent all night drinking. That's the only way I could think you can come up with a dumb plan like this. Okay, let me think. Still hungover? Let's see. I got to be at work in 20 minutes. Okay, fine. This is what I'm going to do. So, I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to drive. It's Arizona, so it looks like the set of Breaking Bad anyway. So, he drives out somewhere, and what does he do? Does he call and pretend like he called in his pocket? And does voices like me, like, hey, get in the car. Oh, no, please don't throw me your car because I really want to go to work today.
Well, too bad you won't be going to work today. You might be going to Hades if you keep playing with me.
Oh, no, and what are you doing? Are you putting a bag over my head?
Yes, this bag will fit over your head.
Are those zip ties?
Yes, these are zip ties.
Are you Alfonso?
I will not confirm or deny those allegations.
And then what? Okay, so if you're trying to kidnap yourself, you got to lose the phone. Like, you can't, because the phone gets tracked, right? So, how do the cops find him? Okay, I'm stumped on this one. Okay, so the only way I can, because would a kidnapper use his own phone? He wouldn't use the guy's phone. He would have a throwaway phone, right? That way you can be in contact with Okay, I'm tapping out this one. All right, so let's just get to the getting. A man in Arizona went to an extreme length to avoid going to work by staging his own kidnapping and making up a story of a family treasure hidden in the desert. Okay. The brother, he's 19, was arrested on charges of false reporting to the police after he pleaded guilty to faking his own kidnapping. He was booked by the Coolidge police and released with a court date. The investigation in the case began on February 10th when officers responded to a call of an injured man lying near a water tower in Coolidge City outside of Phoenix. The man was found with his hands tied behind his back by a belt and a bandana stuffed in his mouth, according to the police. He told the authorities that he was abducted from it near his home when he returned after running an errand that morning.
Oh, I wanted to go to work, but some ne'er-do-well grabbed me and kidnapped me.
All right. He told officials that he was abducted by two masked men who hit him in the back of the head and knocked him unconscious. Okay, family, just real quick. If you get hit in the back of the head, it's not like the movies. You don't just go unconscious for 20 minutes without brain damage. Like, okay, so anyway. The abductors, according to Mr. Mann, drove him around before leaving him near the water tower where he was found. He said during the interview he was abducted because he had a huge amount of money left by his father hidden somewhere in the desert. The detectives continued their investigation for days to match the evidences to his account by reviewing surveillance footage of the area, scouring his phone details, and interviewed people. The police eventually concluded that the investigation after no evidence was found, to corroborate the story. The report in the case said that his story was fabricated and no kidnapping or assault occurred. An extensive investigation was conducted by the Coolidge detectives and evidence to discover showing his story was fabricated and no kidnapping or assault occurred. The Daily Mail quoted the police saying. The man pled guilty at a sentencing hearing of false informing on February 18th and ordered to pay, this is euro money, so a $550 fine. The brother reportedly told the police he made up the story as an excuse to get out of work. Wait a minute, because it was in Phoenix. I guess the people reported are out of country. Okay. The man used to work at a car shop, the tire factory. It is not known if he still works there. I'm pretty sure if you try to kidnap yourself, then you don't work there anymore. All right. That story got so many holes in it. So people knew he had money. They grab him, smack him in the back of the head, and then throw him in the desert. What was it? Next time we come through, have the money. Okay. Whatever. All right. Final story. A New York man was killed by his own gender reveal explosive that detonated as he built it, police say. All right. So I'm assuming by gender reveal they mean, because I'm sure he knew what he was, unless he was transitioning to something else. I'm assuming this brother was having a child. Right, a little baby girl, a little baby boy. And I'm assuming it had to be his first kid. Had to be. Because, you know, after you had your first one is your excited kid. You know, oh my God, I'm having a kid. Having a baby, the feeling can't be beat. You better decide where the baby's going to sleep. Like, what kind of baby is it? Right, after your second baby, it's like, look, it's a girl. It's a boy. Like, no one cares. And even now, to be honest with you, no one really cares. You're the one having the kid. Like, it's not a big thing. Maybe the grandparents care, but not enough for you to be building a bomb in your garage, right? So the brother, I'm assuming he's a white guy.
and maybe somewhere like Virginia or something, Connecticut, they got nice houses, and everyone's always trying to outdo the next person, right? Like, if Susie gets a Audi, then Karen down the street has to get the Audi S5, and then Rebecca has to get the Mercedes, you know, whatever. Like, they're, it's a competition. Like, everyone wants to keep up with the Joneses, right? So, our brother, let's call him Brandon. Brandon, last month, he went to a baby reveal party where Joey and his woman, they released some balloons from a box. And it was either pink or blue. And then they opened up the box and it was blue balloons. They was having a baby boy. Everything was great. So, you know, our boy Brandon's not about to be outdone by Joey. Joey's only in middle management. Like, how dare he think he gonna outdo me? And have you seen Joey's lawn? It's terrible. So Brandon was like, okay, this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to get on the internet and download bomb instructions, getting put on a watch list, right? So while he's sitting there, he's soldering up the bombs and soldering up, putting in the gunpowder and stuff. Like, somehow, maybe his Hot Pockets or his Tortino pizza rolls, they was getting ready, and as he turned around, he wasn't paying attention, soldered the wrong thing. And from there, my man ignited the gunpowder, and it blew, what, dust, either pink or blue dust and glitter, sparkles, and the glitter was shrapnel. And it, like, perforated this man's face and body. The bad thing is, the only reason I'm even talking about this, because I'm sitting here imagining this man, his dead body, in the garage after this bomb that went off, covered in pink dust with glitter everywhere. And as the garage door opens up, because his wife, she's about to pull in a new Tesla that he didn't mortgage the house to get. Like, that was the reveal for her. Like, it revealed Brandon sitting there covered in pink fairy dust. And she's pregnant. Like, so, I don't, it's just the visual that makes it funny to me. Because, like, you know, garages go up slow, like, and surprise, it's a corpse. Like, I'm laughing, but it's also kind of sad because this woman, I'm assuming, has lost her husband or her partner for this overabundant display of having a child. So now she went from a first-time mom to a newly widowed person. Like, you know, it's... Yeah, so all right, let's see how the story goes. I gotta find the story. And you see, okay, fam, what it is I take snapshots of the story, but I purposely not, I try not to read it as I'm doing it. So it's in my little, I gotta flip through to find it, so please forgive me. Okay, here we go. All right. A man in upstate New York died while assembling an explosive for his child's gender reveal party. State police confirmed that there was no malicious intent. Christopher Pickney's death follows a line of disasters revolving around gender reveal parties. An upstate New York father-to-be died when a bomb he was assembling for his child's gender reveal party exploded on Sunday. State police confirmed in a press release that Christopher Pinckney, 28, was killed at his home in Liberty, New York. Authorities also confirmed that Pinckney was the father-to-be of the child who was the subject of the gender reveal party. State police say that around noon on Sunday, they responded to reports of an explosion at Pinckney's home. Pinckney's brother, Michael Pinckney, was with Christopher at the time of the explosion and suffered injuries. Oh, man. An initial investigation determined that Pinckney died from the result of the explosion. The state trooper, a local spokesman for the state police told the newspaper that Pinckney's explosive was not being built or made for malicious purposes. State police said that they will continue to investigate the incident alongside the New York State Police Bomb Disposal Unit. Pinckney's death follows a long line of tragedies and disasters stemming from the trend of gender reveal parties. In 2020, the El Dorado wildfire, which scorched more than 7,000 acres of San Bernardino, California, was started by a faulty smoke machine at a gender reveal party. Similarly, in 2018, in Arizona, gender reveal party ignited the sawmill fire, which burned 45,000 acres. In early February, a guest at a Michigan gender reveal party was killed after gunpowder inside the celebratory cannon exploded and sent pieces of metal shrapnel flying in the air. Let's see. This lady, she's a blogger who was credited with starting the viral trend over a decade ago, condemned the parties after the El Dorado fire. "Stop it," the woman wrote on Facebook. "Stop having these stupid parties. For the love of God, stop burning things down to tell everyone about your kid's penis." That's a little hypocritical, seeing as she's the one to start this thing. But I get what she's saying. Enough is kind of enough. Like, people are losing their lives just to let your friends and family know that your kid is a vagina American or a penis American. So yeah, let's stop doing that, y'all. Alright, that's gonna be another episode of Bro 3 Podcast. Y'all be sweet, be kind to each other. You know, if you got a kid coming, just do it the old fashioned way. Just, you know, it's a boy. Pass out blue bubble gum, cigars, something like that. You know? Alright, y'all. Y'all be sweet, be loving, be kind to each other. Alright, later.